There was an article written a few months back that's been making its way throughout social media the last few days. It talks about how to raise kinder, less entitled kids. It's based on new research called behavioral economics, which looks at the sometimes irrational way that our brain makes decisions about the world. The article is full of great information, but one thing it talks about is what I'll unofficially call our judgment bias. When something negative happens to us, when a speeding car cuts us off, we think, "What a moron!" or something like that. If we're at a restaurant and it's taking forever for our food to get there, we think this waitress is incompetent. The scientific term for this is fundamental attribution error. We don't always consider that maybe the driver had a sick child and they were rushing to pick them up. Maybe they were on their way to the hospital. We don't think that perhaps the restaurant had a few employees call in sick, and so now the one waitress is bussing extra tables to try and pull for her coworkers. Our brains jump to conclusions about people, and we judge them pretty harshly. This article argues that if we can teach our kids, and probably ourselves, to withhold judgment, to give people the benefit of the doubt, to talk through possible explanations for why we're being inconvenienced, then we'll become more compassionate, more understanding. We'll be less inclined to see the worst in people and more inclined to see the good. The common thought in Jesus' time was an eye for an eye. Someone hurts you, you hurt them back. That's justice, fair and square. But Jesus has a different perspective. He says that if someone slaps us in the face, we should turn our cheek and let them slap the other side. He asks us to give to everyone who begs from us, to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Some say this is terrible advice. These are ancient words that no longer apply to our modern times. If we were to heed Jesus' advice, we'd be vulnerable, we'd be a laughingstock, and we'd most certainly be broke. Others say that Jesus is describing a heavenly ideal of what things will be like someday, where violence is no longer met with violence, where the poor are given everything they need. But both of these interpretations let us off the hook a little bit, don't they? I wonder if Jesus was ahead of his time and recognized what these behavioral scientists are just now realizing about the human brain. That when we're offended, we instinctively think the worst about people. We're far too quick to label someone as evil or look at a group as the enemy without knowing the fuller picture. We see a homeless person and we assume they don't have a good work ethic. They just applied themselves, they wouldn't be in this situation. We hear a story about a girl at school teasing others and think, that's not surprising. Females are catty, mean, always out to get each other. The problem is, when we let this judgment bias win out again and again, we become jaded. Ian McLaren was a Scottish minister in the 1800s, and I think he summarized Jesus' teaching the best when he said, "Be kind, for every person you meet is fighting a hard battle." Maybe the cashier was cold and unfriendly because she can't afford her electricity bill that came in the mail yesterday, and she's wondering when they're going to cut her lights off. Maybe we waited for 30 minutes in the lobby of the doctor's office because the physician had to spend extra time counseling a person who just got the diagnosis they've been dreading. Maybe the classmate who seems to be only out for himself is incredibly lonely and needs a friend. The philosopher and Christian mystic Simone Weil said, "To love our neighbor in all of its fullness simply means being able to say, 'What are you going through? What would the world be like if we were willing to sit down with those we struggle to love, our enemies, our rivals, our in-laws, and said to them, 'What are you going through?' What if instead of gearing up for battle, we listened, really listened to their response?" Jesus knows not everyone will live this way, but for those of us who follow him, for those of us who love him, this is how we must live, because it's how God lives. As one commentator puts it, in the kingdom of God, grace reigns. God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God loves every person. Blessings flow into the lives of all people, no matter how terrible we think they are. Jesus holds us to a higher standard than our neighbors. He says anyone can love family and friends who love them back. That's easy. It's much harder to love the grumpy and the greedy. It's harder to love the one who views the world very differently from you, or who lives in a country that's not at all like yours, or who practices a religion that's very different from your own. Not everyone is willing to turn the other cheek, to loan money freely, to pray for the people who despise them. But Jesus wants us to try. To put it bluntly, the teachings found in our Leviticus passage and in this Matthew text, they ask us to put our money where our mouth is. These passages give us concrete examples of everyday ways to live out your faith. When you harvest your land, leave behind food and grapes for the poor, the immigrant passing through your land. Do not steal or deceive or lie to each other. Care for the disabled. Do not gossip or slander or seek revenge. If someone wants your coat, give your cloak as well. Truthfully, most days I'm a lot of talk and not a lot of action. I think God and Jesus kind of expected this, which is why they give us explicit examples of how to live out the faith we say we believe. I believe God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. But what am I doing day in and day out to care for the environment? I believe that laborers should be paid fairly and go to work each day in factories that are safe and clean. But do I buy my clothes and my food from companies that have the same values? I believe that all children deserve to be loved and live in safe homes. But the state of Georgia has nearly 16,000 children and teens in state custody, and not nearly enough foster homes to place them in. I've done nothing about that. Day in and day out, am I, as a Christian, making hard choices that require sacrifice on my part? Are you? Are we, as the church family? God challenges us to see the good in people, in all people, because God sees the good in us. And if we believe that people are good and that they deserve God's love and forgiveness, then we must take practical, everyday steps to show God's love and forgiveness here in our community and around the world. None of us is perfect. None of us can save the world. Only Jesus can do that, and he already did it 2,000 years ago. Some days he knows that we'll take the high road. We will love and forgive and pray for the ones who hurt us. Other days, not so much. We're quick to anger, slow to forgive. But as the sun rises each day, we get a new chance to put our faith into action, to do something tangible for the poor, the disabled, the stranger in our land, the enemy who is seeking our downfall. The challenge is before us. Jesus sets a high standard. Let's do our best to make him proud and love as abundantly as God loves, especially when it's hard. Amen.